Susan,
hi. Good to see you.
You look beautiful, as always. You know that you were my first crush.
You were my first crush, too. Don't do this.
He's too weak for you. The things you love about him now are the things you'll hate.
I really wanted to be this person that he thought I was.
When you love someone, you have to be careful with it. You might never date it again.
My ex-husband used to call me a nocturnal animal.
I didn't know you had an ex-husband. Did you love him?
I did something horrible to him. I left him in a brutal way.
So after having a really just terrible year in 2015 for Jake Gyllenhaal, where he had, what was the movie? He had Accidental Love. That came out, that piece of shit. Southpaw, which he was good in, but that movie sucked ass or whatever. And then he had Everest, which he just didn't do a damn thing in the film. So we got his first and only film really coming out this year, which is Nocturnal Animals. And I don't know if it's getting a wide release or not, but I know this weekend it'll be playing for L.A. and maybe New York, I believe. But I'm going to go ahead and get off the bat right here. I love Jake Gyllenhaal. I think he's one of the best actors working today. Besides 2015, I thought this guy was just knocking it out of the park with films left and right. Nobody could top this guy when it comes to psychological thrillers and thrillers just in general. Nightcrawler, easily one of the most underrated films of this decade. I think it's one of the best performances by Jake Gyllenhaal. I still think it's the best performance by Jake Gyllenhaal. But here we are with Nocturnal Animals, another thriller with Jake Gyllenhaal and Amy Adams and Michael Shannon and Aaron Taylor Johnson. And I gotta say right off the bat, this could be possibly my favorite movie of the year. This movie actually kicks ass all around. I am in love with the style of this film right here. Tom Ford, who is the director on this film, I don't know if he wrote it though. Actually, yeah, he did write it. It was, and this is based off a novel too. Oh, I didn't know that part. Okay, so yeah, Tom Ford, if you remember his last film, if I'm not mistaken, he did A Single Man that came out like in 08, 09 or whatever, which I really wasn't that big of a fan of. I know critics really loved it, but it was all right. But this one, where he comes back with Nocturnal Animals, I think he just knocked it out of the park by having this dark, cerebral thriller film here. And I'm going to go ahead and go plots on. So basically, you got Amy Adams, who plays an art gallery owner in here. And she plays Susan Morrow. And she's married to Armie Hammer in here. And Armie Hammer plays Hutton Morrow. Hutton, I believe I'm saying that right. And she's kind of just going day by day. She's kind of done with this lifestyle. And you're trying to figure out, how did she get to where she is right now? Well, the movie tells you kind of in flashbacks, and it also tells you another story as well. First of all, the movie opens up with a bunch of fat, overweight, plus-size models, if you will, butt-ass naked. Very weird opening, and very striking to the eyes, if you must say so. And yeah, I can tell you this right now, I think I will never get that out of my mind, actually. Because I was throwing dollar bills at the goddamn screens like, hey, shit, fuck it. I'm that's horny. Give me a dance, girl. But, and you can see that she's kind of mooring and mundane or whatever. So we go through flashback sequences where she used to be married to Jake Gyllenhaal. And that was one of the flashback sequences where they kind of ran into each other. And then, you know, you kind of see them coming together and how their marriage began to how it ended, pretty much. And he sends her his first book ever published. Because he's been a writer and he's been struggling, and he finally got a book published, which he dedicated to Amy Adams' character and Susan, and he called it Nocturnal Animals because he used to call her a nocturnal animal. And basically, it's going through connecting the story of her relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal's character, who plays two characters in here, with Tony Hastings and Edward Sheffield. Tony is the character in real life, and Edward Sheffield is the character in his book, his first book that he written. And basically, it's just a movie about it that's parallel in these two stories all into one. And actually three, but it's parallel in these two stories into one, to where it's making pretty much Amy Adams. It's kind of a revenge story in a way. It's kind of making you say, hey, here's something. I want you to know that you kind of inspired me to write this book. So I don't really know how to give a plot synopsis of this film without telling you the whole damn movie. So I'm just going to say that's pretty much the plot synopsis, what I hear. So basically, let me just get into the real life here. Amy Adams, you kind of go through the motion, you know, and her mother warns her. Her mother's kind of a bitch, and there's all kinds of stuff about her. And she says, don't you marry... Oh, you know what? Edward is the guy that Jake Gyllenhaal plays. Not in the book. Sorry, my bad. So she tells him, don't marry Edward. He's too romantic for you, and you'll be too hard on him. And she pretty much... her mother predicted everything that was going to be right. And she kind of cheated on him with Armie Hammer once, you know, their marriage started splitting up and stuff. And you hear it in the trailer. She's like, oh, because people's like, oh, I didn't know you had an ex-husband. She's like, I broke up with him in possibly the worst way possible. And I got to tell you, she broke up with him in a pretty fucked up way, I got to say. This dude was madly in love with this girl. Her mother was right. And her mother is played by, what's her name? Laura Linney. Laura Linney, yeah. And Laura Linney in here, she is just, like, spot on. And plus, she looks fine as fuck in this movie. I was like, God damn, is that Laura Linney? Couldn't even recognize her. She looks so glamorous because it's so stylistic in the real world where how they're just so glammed up and everything. Which, by the way, you don't never meet Jake Gyllenhaal in present day time in his film. He's just checking through emails and the story that she's reading, which is just incredible how this movie is set up. But basically, to go back to this, how she breaks up with him. Not only is she cheating with Armie Hammer, but you see her with Armie Hammer at a doctor. And I'm thinking someone died because they're crying and looking sad. And then they get in the car. And she tells Armie Hammer, she's just like, she starts crying because she's like, I don't know how I can live with myself. I mean, she's like, what if he finds out what I've done, that I aborted his baby and stuff. And I was just like, oh my God. And then he kind of comforts her. He's comforting her and everything. And she's like, maybe everything will be okay. And they look up, and guess who's standing there in the rain staring at her? It's Jake Gyllenhaal. And you just like, oh my God. God. Now, I read a review where someone was saying that the reveal of his so-called Jake Gyllenhaal's revenge really wasn't necessary. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? The woman he loved not only didn't tell him that she was pregnant, but she fucking aborted his baby without his permission. I mean, that has got to be the most cruel shit you could possibly do to a man that is in love with someone. Or in love with a woman that's possibly could have his child. Whether they worked it out or not, just the fact that he knew that he had a kid from the woman he loved. That fucking just... And Jake Gyllenhaal sells it in his performance when he's just staring at her. It was like... I thought it was going to become a horror movie. I wanted to tell her, you want to put your key in that ignition real quick, and you just want to back the car up. Just back it up real quick. I literally thought it was about to become a horror film, or it was about to become the ending of The Accountant, where he was just going to go fucking Punisher style on anybody that got in his goddamn way. And so that's where it led into this breakup here. Now, as she's reading the book, she's one of those dramatic ass readers too, because every time she gets to a point in the story where you just like, ooh, this shit is juicy here, she just throws the book down. She's like, and the reason why you kind of catch on is because she's kind of connecting those parallels to, like, wait a minute, hold on. Because throughout the whole movie, they constantly say how Jake Gyllenhaal is weak. He's weak. And basically what the book is about this family with Isla Fisher, who plays Laura Hastings there, which, by the way, I know why they fucking casted her, because she looks just like Amy Adams in the damn film. Same hair, same style, same everything about it and shit. So she was spot on playing Amy Adams. They had a daughter who was played by Ellie Bamber, and she's India Hastings. And you got Tony Hastings, who's played by Jake Gyllenhaal, and their family going through West Texas. That should show you anything, because going to West Texas could be possibly the worst fucking drive you could ever take. They get randomly, there's a chicken shit race going on right now, and one of the cars just so happened to be Ray Marcus, played by Aaron Taylor Johnson, and I did not recognize his brother at all. I'm calling it right now. This got to be the side damn, what I'm about to say right here. Shit, I'm fucking up on words right now. But this has got to be the performance of a year that came out of nowhere. I got to tell you, the side character performance of the year goes to Shocker of the Year. Look, Aaron Taylor Johnson has been one of those guys where he's just like, he's serviceable for if you get him for anything. Personally, I think really his best thing he's ever done was Kick-Ass, to be honest. And he was cool in Age of Ultron, just really wasn't nothing to him, his character or anything like that. You know, he got the accent down perfectly, so, you know, but it was nothing that made him stood out. It was just like, oh, man, no, I like that guy so much. Godzilla, he fucking sucked ass through a straw, and he was boring as fuck. But, and here, he completely transforms himself into this redneck Confederate flag, possibly fucking piece of shit character here. He pulls their family over by knocking their car off the road and then guilting them and saying, you knocked our car off the road. And he notices that they have a flat tire. He manages to get them out of the car, and he's constantly groping on his daughter and shit like that. It's a long-ass scene, too, by the way. And it's one of those scenes where you just uncomfortable the whole time watching. You just sitting there going like, Jesus Christ, this scene ain't never gonna fucking end, is it? And I don't mean that in a bad way, neither. I mean, like, it's uncomfortable watching because, first of all, his daughter is in here. She's playing like a 13-year-old girl, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe a 16-year-old girl. Yeah, not 13, 16-year-old girl. And then you got the wife in here, and they constantly calling Jake Gyllenhaal a pussy. So this is where you get the parallel of where Amy Adams and her mother was constantly saying, you know, Edward is weak, you know, he's not going to be able to handle your type of woman like you and stuff. So basically, this whole movie is, the book itself is a guilt trip into saying, yo, what happened to my wife and daughter in this book happened because of me, because I was too weak to do anything about it. They basically hop in Jake Gyllenhaal's car, at least Aaron Taylor Johnson's character, and they take off with his wife and daughter in the car. Next thing you know, they make Jake Gyllenhaal get in their other car and so-called follow them, only to take him out into the fucking desert and throw his ass out the car, make him walk back. He actually makes it back. And even though Aaron Taylor Johnson's character and his buddy, I don't know who is, a Turk, who plays by Robert Amar Mayo, whatever the fuck he's pronounced that goddamn name, and they come back looking for Jake Gyllenhaal because they come to kill his ass, because this is the part where we find out later in the film, they pretty much killed the wife and daughter. He teams with Michael Shannon, and this investigation takes over a year. Michael Shannon plays Bobby Andes, and he's just a cop that just don't give a fuck. And I'm talking like one of them fucking them Texas cops that's just like, I don't give a fuck if it's by the book or not. I like goddamn justice, and I need it to be served. And he needs justice served every day for the simple fact that he is smoking a cigarette constantly, pack to pack. It takes about a year to solve this case, and they finally get a little bit close to this. And then next you know it, Jake Gyllenhaal takes them back to where they possibly, where he found his way out of the desert and stuff, made it back to Main Road, and then only to find out that there was an area by where they pretty much left the bodies of his wife and his daughter butt-ass naked on a couch rubbed up on each other. And I was like, God damn, dude, you couldn't even fucking put them separately or something like that? You had to put them in a position where it looked like they were fucking each other or something like that? What kind of sick shit was that? I mean, I was just like watching. And the funny thing was, not even funny, but they're on this bright red couch, and it was really stylish how it was shot, almost like in a model shot formation here. It just looked gorgeous from a cinematography view. It's kind of like one of the most ugliest fucking beautiful things you could ever see. It was kind of like that scene in 12 Years a Slave where Chiwetel Ejiofor was like hanging from that rope, but you see the sunlight and the kids playing in the background. It's like, oh, this is beautifully disgusting right here, but okay. And Jake Gyllenhaal as Edward in the book, he just fucking nails his performance. I mean, this dude, I'm telling you right now, people, he is literally the best actor working today. I just don't know why this guy is just not getting enough credit. I don't know who he pissed off in Hollywood. I don't know if Maggie Gyllenhaal is just jealous and she put a hit out in his ass to the Academy to never nominate this motherfucker for nothing. I don't know what it is, but this man is easily the best working actor today, and he just sells it in so many levels on this movie. Michael Shannon, we later find out a year later, after the whole incident, that he's dying from cancer because of all the cigarettes he smoked, and he's just like, yeah, they're not gonna, because they found out the death cause of his wife and daughter. They both were raped to death. His daughter's arm was broken while she was being strangled and raped to death. And they were talking about, like, there was all kind of bruises on their wife, like she was held down and stuff. I was just like, oh my god. I was like, holy fuck, okay. You really don't need to tell me all the details of how these girls were. Oh, and then they said his wife and the daughter was knocked upside the head with like a blunt instrument and stuff like that. I was just like, ah, okay. And I was just thinking, like, had that been my wife and daughter, I would murder anybody that got in my fucking way, possibly. So Michael Shannon tells him pretty much, look, because they end up catching Aaron Taylor Johnson, but they don't have enough evidence on him. You thinking, like, sitting here just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. A witness isn't enough evidence? Fuck it, whatever. So Michael Shannon tells him, look, they're going to kick me off the force because of my cancer. They want me to put in early retirement. So he's like, how bad you want fucking justice? And Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, Tony, he's like, I'll do whatever it takes. And he's like, good. I got a camp outside of town. I say we take they ass in there and beat the holy fucker, beat the holy confession out of their asses. And I was just like, well, damn. I like the way you think. They end up catching him and Turk. They, you know, they end up putting a bullet in Turk's ass, and then next, you know, finding Aaron Taylor Johnson's character. He ends up on the run, only for Jake Gyllenhaal's character to find him. And then this dude ends up knocking Jake Gyllenhaal upside the head with, I think it was like a wrench or something like that. Yeah, but then Jake Gyllenhaal ends up opening fire on him like twice, ends up shooting him. Jake Gyllenhaal wakes up the next morning. I'm taking it that Michael Shannon died because he was in terrible shape at this point. So I'm assuming that he just probably passed out somewhere in the middle of nowhere because they were supposed to meet each other at this same spot, but he never showed up. Jake Gyllenhaal's eyes just busted like a motherfucker. And he's constantly having moments in here where he's just saying, you know, he was telling Michael Shannon, it's my fault because I'm so weak and I couldn't do anything. And I let this man take my wife and daughter. And he ends up killing Aaron Taylor Johnson. But, you know, with his busted eye and flies going around him, he ends up passing out and he falls on his gun and ends up shooting himself until he dies. And then Amy Adams throws the book down. And next you know, as soon as she throws that book down, she gets an email from Jake Gyllenhaal because she's stunned and say, hey, I read your book. Let's meet up for dinner or something like that. And the only reason why she's probably saying that is because she's a miserable fuck right now with her husband who's never home because even though he claims that he always work-related, he's fucking around with some other chicks and stuff like that. And he ends up getting caught because he's on the elevator talking about, oh, yeah, I'm on an elevator going to my floor. And then the elevator guy says, here's your floor, madam. And she's, Amy Adams here, and she's like, ain't this a bitch? She didn't tell him anything, but, you know, so she says, you know, hey, Edward, let's meet up for a dinner or something like that. And after she gets done reading the book, sure enough, he responds with the, yeah, let's meet at this place. He says, when and where. And the ending of this movie is just Amy Adams sitting at this restaurant as she just expects him to show up, but he never shows up. And the ending of this movie is just her sitting at that restaurant with her hand over her head and this look in her face like, I fucked up really bad. I really fucked up. And it just cuts off and you're just like, this is a fucked up movie. This is a really fucked up movie right here. And this is the type of movies that I like. This is the type of thrillers that I like. Thrillers are my favorite genres. And I gotta say, this is easily one of the best thrillers films of the year. I mean, just talk about performances alone. Amy Adams, which I haven't really even talked about, she looks like a whole different person in the real world, this fashion stuff like that. I mean, I love it too because there's a couple of jokes in here that the critics I was watching with caught on. Because then we all laugh when she's talking to her assistant and she drops her phone and the screen cracks because she's now seeing visions of, like, you know, the book in her eyes and stuff like that because she's kind of feeling guilty, obviously, because the parallels are hitting so much. And I love it because her secretary's like, it's okay. She's like, I don't care about that phone. A new one is coming out next week, I believe. You know, it was kind of funny. It's one of the things you gotta see the witness or whatever. But Amy Adams, she just looks fucking gorgeous. If you think she's great in Arrival, she is even more fantastic in this film and how she portrays this character, this broken down, beaten character, really, and she just does it so fucking well. This girl, I am so glad too that this and Arrival came out, because BVS and Man of Steel just did this girl no goddamn justice. It just did her no justice. She just needs to stop doing those movies, because she is literally one of the best actresses working today. I kid you not. And yet, DC and Warner Brothers are not doing a goddamn thing with her. But here she comes out with Arrival and Nocturnal Animals, and she just knocks it out of the park. And she is probably most likely a shoo-in to get nominated for either one of the films. And I wouldn't have a problem with either one, because the woman deserves it. Michael Shannon, this dude, man, I'm telling you, he's making, he's like, man, Steel ain't gonna ruin my fucking career. And no. And he comes in here and he kills it with his performance. Aaron Taylor Johnson, though, shocker performance of the year. I didn't know this guy had that in him. Like, it took me a while to resonate that that's fucking him. Like, there was a couple of times where some of the shit he was just talking about was just spot on. There's even a scene in here, too, when they finally take him in. Michael Shannon comes out the bathroom and he just fucking spits on Aaron Taylor Johnson. And he's just like, God damn, dude. He's like, you piece of shit. You make me fucking sick right now. I'd have put a bullet in your ass right now. Overall, though, this movie is just perfection. The pacing is slow, but it's methodical and cerebral. And another thing what I like about the film, too, my positive going into this is, you never once get confused with the three storylines of present day time, the flashbacks, and her reading the book. It just flows so seamlessly that, like, it honestly makes you want to read that fucking book. Like, I don't even know if that book is real or if that this movie, what it's based on, is that book. But it made me go like, damn, I gotta get a copy of that Nocturnal Animals. That sounds like a bad motherfucker right there. And I think that's one of the best things this movie does, is it just flows through each parallels so fucking spot on perfectly. Dad, I'm gonna go ahead and knock this out of the park with a high see it. Oh, yes. Oh, easily one of my favorite films of the year. If it's in my top three right now. I'm probably gonna have a hard time this year getting my number one down, but Nocturnal Animals definitely is a contender for that spot. So, if you're in the L.A., New York area, I don't know how many theaters this is actually released in, people, but if you're in L.A. or New York and you need a badass film to go check out, I'm telling you, go check this out, Nocturnal Animals, and when you go check it out, you know what to do. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section below, and I will be happy to get right back to you.
What are we going to do?
It's a question of how serious you are about seeing justice done.
You're crazy.
I'm gonna live to regret this.
It's gonna be rough for him out there, not knowing how it's gonna come.
Nobody gets away with what you did. My buddy.